Today is the second part of our series, Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And today, our second one is looking at this topic, modelling the godly character. So let's just go back 1 week and remind ourselves what our front line is. So our front line is basically, as we go off to the front line, is anywhere where we go. I've put a picture of Haddington Railway Station just for you, Steph. The places that you go during the week, I've got Little Asda there, I can't remember the name of the pub that's there, and I realised it's a red post box and it's now been painted gold. So it's an old picture. But the different places that we go to are our front line. Because when you get up in the morning, the people around you in your home are your front line. When you get out and you travel somewhere, they're the people that are on your front line. When you're in a shop, in a queue, they're the people in your front line. If you're at work, the people there are your front line. So how can you, among all the people that you are among, be a fruitful, godly person? Because if God has changed us, if God has done a work within us, that surely has to work its way out and touch all those people that this week you're going to come into contact with. Your front line. So we're looking to start with about character. So what is character? What is a godly character? Well, I must say, firstly, it's more than just being a nice person. There's loads of nice people. But a godly character has got to be something that is a little bit different from that. And the character, of course, is different as well from personality. You know, the Bible talks a lot about character. It doesn't talk much about personality. You see the personalities of the different people coming through. You know, Peter, the disciple, had one personality, very outgoing and I'll tackle anything. And John was a more quiet person. You know, we all have our different personalities. But what the Bible talks about more than anything else is our character. And our character stems from who we are. Our identity. And if you say, I am a Christian, and that is my identity, I am a child of God, born into his kingdom, I am part of that, then that is what the root of your character should be. That's what your character should stem from. And the things that people will see as they come across you this week will hopefully stem from that work that God has done within the very core of his being. God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and his Spirit, if you've given your life to him, dwells in the very centre of your spirit. Deep cries out to deep, the deepest part of you and the deepest part of God together. And from that, it should work out so it touches people. Rippling out so people can see it. Martin Luther King made a very famous speech, and talking about his children, he said this: I do not want them to be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. Because it's so superficial to judge somebody just by their skin colour. You know, that's ridiculous. You look at their character, and hopefully America's moved a little bit, though not always, and Britain and all the rest, where we judge people by the character rather than the colour of the skin. But let's just take that another step on. Let's just move that into other situations. Go a step further. How about if we gave that famous quote and we said, I would like people to be judged but not by their position in society, but by their character. Or how about, are we saying, we do not want to be judged by our wealth, or lack of it, but by our character? How about we could say, I want to be judged not by my achievements, my experiences, but by my character? Because surely, there are many ways that people can look at you. There's many ways that people can form an opinion of you. But the one that we want people to form an opinion of us of is our character. And if we're modelling a godly character, if that's what shines through, then that is surely what is going to have an impact. Let's just move on. How not to model a good character. Now, you could dress up tomorrow and say, I want to be Jesus in the office. And you could get out a sort of a Jesus-like robe, and you could float into your sandals and all, and you could float in and say, I want to be like Jesus in my office today. And they'd all say, you're fired. You know, or you might want to start lecturing people about the Bible. I want to just explain this to you. Have you ever considered Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 27 or what have you? You know, there are ways not to judge, to present your godly character. And necessarily, well, I still can't decide whether I was right or wrong here. When I first went off to train to be a teacher, it was the inauguration week and the freshers week. I was probably about 19. I wore a corduroy sky blue jacket. I love that corduroy. My mum thought it was tatty cheap. It's not even got a lining, Trevor. But I wore this sky blue cord jacket and a badge that was about this big on it there. And it said, New Life in Jesus. And I thought, I'm going to this college, I'm going to train here, I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. And when I went up to register my name, New Life in Jesus there, yeah, take that, you know. And, you know, when I went round meeting people, hello, I'm Trevor, you know, New Life in Jesus. And maybe that wasn't the most subtle way of explaining to people that I've got a Christian thing. I think in retrospect, maybe I was a little bit sort of in your face and over the top. You know, I could have actually knocked somebody out with this badge, you know. This is such a big badge, bang. Do you know I'm a Christian? You know, you could have had a big arrow over my head. At least I wasn't ashamed of my faith, I suppose you could put it that way. But you can model your character in an inappropriate way. Let's just move on and have one other thought. What about when you have a bad day? Here's two people having a bad day. The stunt rider who's leaping over, I don't know, 68 buses and both wheels fall off his bike. Or the camper in the African bush who wakes up to an unexpected friend. You know, having a bad day is when your character shows itself. It's not when you feel good and holy and all the rest that your character shines out. It's when everything goes wrong. And you've all had those days when you think, today it's not going to be my day. I'm a person who's under pressure. I've drunk quite a bit of this. But if I'm walking around with a glass, and the glass is quite full, and I'm walking along, and Eric barges into me, the glass is going to spill out, and the water's going to spill out, isn't it? And that's what happens with our character. Whatever we fill our lives with, when people bump into us, that's what gets spilled out. You know, if we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're living the godly way and somebody stands on your foot, you know, bless you, brother. You know, but if bless you, brother. But if our lives are not full of God, our lives are full of ourselves and are self-centric, then somebody bumps into us, what gets spilt out is a load of what have you. That you get all worked up. You know, that person who seems to be absolutely incompetent at their job. You know, does it come out with graciousness? Is that what spills out? Or is what spilled out, you know, the self-thoughtful? Sheena has a great thing. Whenever I come across somebody, poor customer service, doesn't it just wind you up? But, you know, when you meet somebody who's giving you poor customer service, you know, as I was saying,
on the podcast, I think you're cheering in your sermon.
No, they're not that taken in. Poor customer service. You know, I might get all ratty and annoyed, and Sheena says, "You don't know what sort of day they've had. You don't know what home they've just come from to serve you." It's true, isn't it? You know, you're having a bad day. It's what spills out from you is that. I want to look from a passage, and we can often dip into the book of Colossians during this series. And I want to read from Colossians 3, and I'm going to read from verse 12 to the end of verse 17. Colossians 3, from verse 12, those who want to follow it. It will be on the screen as well. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So it starts there and says to put on certain qualities. And we have to make decisions about what we put on a daily basis, don't we? Every day when you get up, you sort of bleary-eyed and all the rest, and you look at your clothes and you say, "Which ones shall I put on today?" And you have to make that decision of putting them on. And of course, what you put on covers over what's underneath, which sometimes is a great blessing. And you put things on to you put things on, and that's what people see. You know, you can make a good decision of what you put on and a bad decision of what you put on. And looking around, I can confirm that. But when I got married, Sheena looked at my wardrobe, and she looked at a pair of trousers I had. They were a lovely pair of trousers. They were yellow trousers, about a little bit darker than the yellow in this. And Sheena said, "You're welcome to keep them, but I will never, ever step out of this house with you wearing those yellow trousers." And you know, at some point, those yellow trousers disappeared from my wardrobe. I've no idea where they went to. I'm sure they're there somewhere, but because I've never thrown them out. But they've gone, because I think somebody thought it was a bad decision on what to put on. Every time and now and again, I go around a shop and I see a pair of yellow trousers and I sort of pick them up and go, "Yeah, hang them back up. No, they're not going to be for me." But we make those decisions about what we put on. And the passage is saying, put on certain things. Put them on, wear them. Cover up your old life, if you like. Your old life's gone. We're putting something on here now, and we're dressing for our position. You know, if I was a police officer, I would dress for my position. And you're a son of God representing Jesus whenever you are out and about, and you dress for your position. Your position as a child of God representing him, an ambassador for Christ. So dress accordingly. So what do we put on? Well, here's the list of what exactly we put on. And it was from verse 12. The first thing, put on compassion. Then kindness. Humility. Meekness, or I prefer the NIV one here, gentleness. Patience. They're the qualities, the godly qualities, that Paul was saying, put these on. Wear these things. So let's just have a look for a minute at those qualities. Compassion. What is compassion? It's that deep sensitivity to the sorrows, the experiences of others, and the needs of others. You see, if you're being compassionate, you cannot be self-centered, can you? You can't be, it's all about me, and then be compassionate. To be compassionate, you've got to turn around from it being all about me to actually looking at somebody else. Now, compassion always needs wisdom. I've known people who've gone into situations with the best possible motives and they've made things far worse. So compassion always needs wisdom, but compassion needs to have that ability to look at the needs of others. So this week, you know, in one sense, we can all look at a picture of a starving child in Africa and have compassion and say, right, I'm going to give so much money to a charity and what have you. That's lovely, and I'm not knocking that. But in one sense, it's a bit harder, that person who winds you up in the office on a Tuesday morning, to have compassion there. Because that's a person that you're actually interacting with, and can be annoying you, and it's not just something that you, a fleeting image, it's something that you're actually living with. But the clothes that you will put on Tuesday morning should be compassion. But to put compassion into action, you need kindness. Kindness. The root word of kindness is usable. It's got to be usable. It's got to be practical. In other words, kindness is the shoe leather of compassion. You know, you can have compassion on your work colleague, or have compassion for the person in the supermarket queue, or whoever you're going to bump into during this coming week. But a little act of kindness, you know, after you, or you look stressed there, she'll go make you a brew. Those little acts of kindness are what puts compassion into some sort of place. It puts it there. Humility. The old joke is, of course, you can read about humility in my book, Humility and How I Achieved It. But humility, you cannot be humble and focused on yourself. You can, as a Christian, never say, I'm a somebody. Because God will say to you, actually, you're a nobody because I saved you. In one sense, we should never, in humility, you know, talk about, you know, helping somebody. We should never stretch down to help somebody. We always look across. You see the difference? Sometimes we think, I'm going to look down and help somebody. But that almost in our thinking is that they're in a lower position than we are. And we're never going to stoop down to help somebody. We always look across to help somebody. Because in Christ, see, our humility isn't based on downing ourselves, thinking, oh, I'm rubbish, I can't do this, what qualities have I got, what have I got to offer, and all of that. That's not what humility is, that, you know, that's false humility. But our humility comes from our really understanding our relationship between Jesus Christ and ourselves. That's where humility comes in, because before him, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm a wretch saved by the grace of God. And so that is where our sense of real humility comes from, and the ability to do that. Gentleness. Gentleness, and again this comes from the root of the word in the Greek. Gentleness is strength. In one sense, I prefer gentleness to meekness, because meekness, you know, if you think of somebody meek, you think of somebody meek and mild and a sort of little dormouse. Gentleness is a bit stronger than that, because gentleness is strength, but under control. I don't know whether there's anybody here who've ever been into horses and riding horses. Anybody got a lack of horsey people here? But okay, but if you were into horses, you would know that you can have a really, really strong animal that's got immense power there. A power to run incredibly fast, jump incredibly high. But when you've got the bit and the bridle there, when you see that control, you've got something there that is, though immensely powerful, is controlled. And that's the meaning there of gentleness. That we might have all those resources, but a gentle person, we're not going to barge into situations this week. We're not going to do that. we're going to have that gentleness where we can be controlled and we can use that gently. Patience. Again, the meaning of the word patience is literally is long anger. Or we would put it as without a short fuse. So long anger, short fuse is the way we would look at it. I love another way we can look at the word patience is simply meaning abiding under. If you're patient, you can abide under. And that ability to be patient with people that you're going to meet this week, that ability to, with the people on your front line this week, whether it's close at home or whether it's more of a casual situation, your ability to be patient, to abide under, to not have that short fuse. So they are some of the godly characters. There's far more, of course. There's the whole fruits of the Spirit we could go through. But they're the godly characters that we wish to model. So let's just conclude. We're going to meet lots of people in this coming week. How can we be Jesus to the people we interact with this week? And it's, of course, all about relationships. Because the first and foremost thing is our relationship with God. And if you think of a cross, our relationship with God is the most important thing. But when we've got our relationship with God right, we can then have our relationship with other people right. When we're right with God, then we can be right with other people. And it's not about a set of rules. We're not saying we're looking at this and saying, right, this is what you've got to do, step A, step B, step B, step C. We're saying what we're talking about with a godly character is what flows out from us from a changed heart with an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And slowly, bit by bit, the character of God becomes your character. The character of God becomes your character. That we come out and have love, a characteristic of God. So that is what we're talking about. So the challenge is to us, is this week, are we going to model that godly character? Shall we pray? Lord, we look at ourselves and we could beat ourselves up because so often we might let you down, we might fail, we might be snappy with somebody, we might not be patient, and we may not have the compassion we feel that we are called on to have. But we just pray that we will be changed by you, that we will, as more as we give our lives to you, you will work within us and you will change us from one degree of glory to another. You will make us that person that we can put on those qualities that are going to touch people on our front line this week. Amen.